This is Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at crushperformance.com.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
And welcome back to Crush Performance. I'm Jeff Crushell. We are your weekly source for performance information. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, do so. Crushperformance.com is the website. You can write to us there. Follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. And if you're on Facebook, check out our page. It's Crush Performance. Or join our performance group. It's called The Talent Grid. Go there. Apply. We'll let you in. And we're just sharing information. We've got a really, really strong group going on at The Talent Grid. Today, listen, I am very excited to share this episode with you. As the spring sports get underway, I always like to look at the human performance side of things and dig a little deeper to help people get set to have some success in their summer endeavors. We have NHL playoffs, NBA, we have rumblings from the NFL, we've got, of course, Major League Baseball underway. There's just so much going on and so much to talk about as everybody heads into the spring-summer sports. And we're just coming off one of the most intriguing Masters in recent history. And of course, this time of year, we like to talk to our good friend Jim Fannin, the coach of champions. So I called him up to see, you know, what we could talk about. And the conversation turned into something that I think neither he nor I expected. It's fantastic. I'm going to ask everybody for a favor here. I rarely do this. Actually, I don't think I've ever done this in the 12 years of the show. But listen, I'd like you to share this conversation with your family. If you're a parent of a young athlete, share it with the other parents from your kids' sports teams. If you're a coach, share it with your organization and your coaches. If you're a teacher, share this conversation with the teachers in your school or in your entire division for that matter. If you own and operate a business or manage people in any way, shape, or form, pass this on to your management team and your leaders. And if you're a young athlete or professional athlete, just listen with interest. Get your notebook ready because this conversation took me off guard. So here it is, our most recent conversation with the coach of champions, Jim Fannin. Enjoy. All right, we're joined now by Crush favorite, Jim Fannin, the coach of champions. Jim, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Well, the timing couldn't be better. You know, we always appreciate talking to you in the spring as the summer sports get underway. But post-Masters, boy, oh boy, I'm telling you, I've been looking forward to talking to you about this. You've worked with some of the world's greatest golfers, and to see what happened at Augusta, wow, what a great number of storylines.
Well, it is, and I did have a player that I've worked with quite a bit is Thomas Peters. I've been coaching the University of Illinois for about a decade, and they're one of the best programs in the country. Coach of the Year, two NCAA champions, Thomas Peters, one of them, and Mike Small is the coach down there at University of Illinois. So I had a chance to work with Thomas quite a bit while he was there, and this guy will wear a green jacket, and he's fearless. He's got a great game, and he's going to make Belgium proud. But we probably should talk about Sergio.
Oh, we have to. Listen, Sergio Garcia, is there maybe, this might be the greatest story in all of sports, is there a more convincing story of grit and perseverance here? Wow, I'm telling you, this has been a long time coming, and so good for Sergio.
Well, I got to tell you a private story, but I'll go ahead and discuss it. I'm with Sergio midnight in Santorini, Greece, several years ago at Luke Donald's wedding, and I'm sitting next to him. He's best friends with Luke Donald. I'm coaching Luke Donald, but I never met him. And we sit down, late, a couple of drinks. It's a wedding, and I turn to him and just blurted out, "Hey, listen, I heard you're the best in the world, tee to green. How come you're not number one?" Pretty blunt question, but it's midnight. It's at a wedding. It's very festive. And he looks at me and he goes, "I don't want to be Tiger Woods." And I said, "Well, you're not African-American. You're not his age. You'll never be Tiger. Why don't you be Sergio? Why don't you want to be number one as you?" And he said, I don't want the lifestyle.
Wow.
And I was blown away. I really was. I've never had a top player that good, that high a ranking, tell me that. And I'm pretty blunt. In any event, he went on to miss a little four-footer to lose the British, if everyone remembers when that happened. And you know, you can program your subconscious to win. You can program your subconscious to lose. And I think that's what's tripped him up at the majors. So a friend of mine said, well, why did he win now? And I said, well, first of all, he choked. So he almost didn't win.
Yeah.
He choked a little short putt, and but his life is different. He's engaged now, going to be married, probably have a family. I believe there's a paradigm shift, and I think that paradigm shift relaxed him, settled him down. He was as calm as I've seen him, even though he did push that putt on 18. Went on to play an amazing playoff. And he definitely deserved it. And what a battle. I know Justin Rose as well. I know he's disappointed. He could have easily have won that and be wearing the green jacket. But, you know, Sergio's just somebody you root for. You want to win. I wanted him to win. And will he ever be number one? I don't think so. Will he win another green jacket? I think he might. I think he's not done winning a major. But to be number one, that's a commitment. That's an everyday pressure cooker thing. Winning it get to the top of the mountain is one thing. Of course, staying there with any duration, well, that's a different deal altogether.
Oh, we're talking with Jim Fannin, the coach of champions. You can check out his great stuff at jimfannin.com. Jim, that's a great story. And, you know, one of the things I heard, you know, as the Masters wrapped up was something very similar. I've heard comments from the commentators and people who have been around Sergio that in the past, you know, he had the mindset, oh, I just can't win at Augusta. I just can't win at Augusta. Isn't it incredibly telling, the power of the mind, when we look at golf? I don't know if there's a sport that really requires the blend of physical and mental coming together to create outcomes. But, boy, the power of the mind and that story you just said, I think, really speaks volumes.
Well, you know, if we could see the printout of the internal dialogue of every player, and this is not just in golf, if you could see that printout before the tournament started, you would easily, and this is someone that's not in the business of peak performance, anyone could read that dialogue and go, oh, he's not going to win.
Right.
He's got no chance.
Sure.
The way that he talks to himself internally, his thoughts. So you are what you think. If you believe that you're going to struggle at the Masters, you're right. You're going to struggle at the Masters. If you believe that track's not suited for you, you're right. You're going to lose. So that positive internal dialogue, and this is for everybody listening, you're only as good as what you think, and what you think repetitively, and you're only as good as what you think, especially when you're alone. That really is the big reveal. And this works for teams as well. You know, you have the amount of people on a hockey team. I'd like to see the printout of everybody on that hockey team, on how they, you know, on how they prepare. And that's also going to reveal who's going to be there in crunch time and who's not.
And Jim, that's a trainable trait, right? You had a chance. Let's face it. You've had a chance, and you've worked with many, many top performers. But you've worked with the number one golfer in the world, and Luke Donald. You work with great Hall of Famers and great competitors like Frank Thomas. Maybe give us a little insight into where those competitors were at when you first started with them, and how their mindset and their attitude changed over your time with them, you know, in terms of you know, their approach to their game and how it impacted the outcomes.
Well, Luke and Luke Donald and Frank Thomas were on the opposite spectrums of what they believed when I first met them. When I first met Frank, I said, well, son, what do you want? Why am I here? What's the point? You know, what's the point of our meeting? And he looked me dead in the eye, and he said with no hesitation, Hall of Fame. And I internally, I'm like, whoa, that's, and he was dead serious.
Right.
You know, I went on to tell him, I said, well, you're going to have to sacrifice. It's going to cost a lot. He thought he was talking about my fee. And I said, no, my fee's going to be chump change how much money you're going to make. My fee's nothing. But you're going to have to sacrifice family, friends, other things to make that commitment. Frank did that, and obviously he's in the Hall of Fame. On the other hand, when I asked Luke that question, he goes, well, I don't know, top 50. Now, this was an NCAA champion, great talent, and I go, top 50? I said, that's it? That's why we're here? I said, I've already done that. That doesn't motivate me. And he looks at me like, wait a minute, what's it? This isn't about you, this is about me. And but it took him a year to start thinking number one. And then one thing clicked for him. He had not won a 72-hole event ever. And we're going to the Honda Classic. And before we got there, I said, if you're the low round in a PGA event that day, are you the best player in the world that day? And he thought a minute, and he goes, wow, I hadn't thought about it, but yeah, I guess I am the best player in the world that day. And I said, well, let's don't try to be number one in the world. Let's just be number one in the world that day. And that was our plan going in, the thinking to the Honda. I'm the best player in the world today, period. And he was comfortable with that.
Wow.
And that's how he won the Honda.
Fantastic story. We're talking with Jim Fannin, coach of champions. That is a great story of mindset. And I guess if you look at Frank Thomas, the difference between Frank Thomas and Luke Donald, very different approaches. But there is an approach for everybody, depending on their mindset, their personality, their makeup, Jim. Does that sound about right?
There really is. And even more importantly, their experiences, their history. You know, some people... Yeah, and I'm going through that right now. I can't reveal any names, but there's someone I'm coaching right now. I'm not even going to reveal the sport. Best in the world talent. There's no question in my mind. But he was never good enough as a child.
Hmm.
Never good enough. And he was constantly worried and that he was couldn't do it. Never, and that came from parenting. And I'm helping him overcome that mindset that I'm not good enough. I don't deserve it. And I've had many athletes say, if I don't strike the ball great, I don't deserve to win. And I'm like, I had tennis players do that. John Lloyd was one of them, a great player for England. He felt if he didn't hit the ball well enough in tennis, he didn't deserve to win. And, you know, it took convincing that the best in the world are not on their game, and they still win that day. The best hockey team in the world in a series, there's going to be one game where things don't click, where there's penalties, there might be an injury, something, a little bad luck. That's the game you got to win, and that's the one the champion wins. When Charles Howell won his first tournament, he came out of Oklahoma as can't miss, NCAA champion, immediately going to take over Tiger Woods. And he felt the same way. If he wasn't striking the ball well, he didn't deserve to win, and he couldn't win. And when he won his first tournament, he won the Michelob, he told me, he said, I'm shocked that I won. It's the worst I've ever hit the ball. And he realized that in most sports, you don't win. You position yourself with tactics and strategy to get the opponent to lose.
Oh.
Most matches, most games, somebody lost, not necessarily just played amazing and won. And that's really my approach. Let them lose. Just hit your high daily standard. We're not out here trying. In fact, I just have disdain for the word try. T-R-Y. To ruin yourself. To ruin yourself. Try. The kids that are trying too hard, you'll notice they're looking in the stands at mom and dad, and then they try. Because parents say all the time, you got to try harder. Well, to try harder, I have to show you I'm trying harder. So I'll grimace my face, and I'll show you the look of trying. Of course, the best in the world, when they're winning, they look effortless. They're so relaxed, so smooth. They look like they're not trying. And that's really the difference between the good ones, the great ones, and also the difference of people that just don't make it, but they do have the talent.
Wow, we're talking with Jim Fannin, the number one coach of champions. You can check out Jim's information at jimfannin.com. Jim, this is one of the most powerful conversations I think you and I have ever had. I'm telling you right now, I think everybody who is a parent, teacher, coach, and athlete needs to hear this conversation. I tell you what, I'm very intrigued by this. Hey, if we were to go back to Frank Thomas, Frank Thomas came into your world with an unbeatable attitude. Now, there's no question he faced adversity. You mentioned something that was very interesting. Experience really, really does play a role in your overall makeup. Frank obviously had a great makeup, but to overcome some of the challenges he came through, that's a practiced art as well.
It really is, and it's a belief in yourself, internal belief. You know, if you have a child that you're raising right now, if you will, as they go to sleep, they drift off into a REM, R-E-M, REM deep sleep, rapid eye movement deep sleep. About 30 minutes prior to that, the four most powerful words you can say to your kid, I believe in you. Whisper this. Add silence between the words. When you add silence between any words, retention and listening improves 30 to 40% if you have a little pause. So the last 30 minutes, you've got an 8-year-old, your son, and you go into the room and you kind of rub his hair a little bit. You make a physical contact. He's drifting off to sleep, and you lower your voice. I believe in you. Now, what happens from someone that they love, someone that they respect and believe in, you, the parent, that message is going to be replayed 15 to 20 times while your son is asleep. And they'll wake up with more self-esteem. Now, my only caution is do not do this every night. It will lose a little steam, if you will. But I would judiciously sprinkle it 2-3 times a week. Now, my daughter's 32. She believed, in her mind, she believes that I said that to her every single night. I did not. She believes it, though. It was that powerful for her. And she's an extremely confident trauma center nurse in Manhattan. And believe me, her confidence really came from just slowly building her self-esteem. And she did not have a high self-esteem. I'm not even sure why, early on. But we worked on it, and it definitely improved. And, well, she's confident. She's that confident person today.
Jim Fannin. Boy, oh boy, I'm telling you right now, I am ready, first of all, to take on the world. And I was ready to take on the world before I got here, for crying out loud.
You're in the zone. I like it.
Yeah. Listen, I'm telling you right now, you bring up a very interesting concept for me. How important are the people around you, Jim? Look what you're just saying, you know, and you know, we can sort of coach and mentor the people around us, but having good people around you, you know, earlier in the conversation, you mentioned some changes in Sergio's life, you know, a real stable partner, getting married, some, you know, I guess, real foundation he can work off. If we look at the other side of that spectrum, you know, somebody that he did not want to be. You look at Tiger Woods with that, you know, all the, I guess, distractions that entered his life that maybe impacted his performance. You know, but having these people around you that can influence you in the right way every day, that's putting together a performance team. And in business life, you know, the family life, or even, you know, in your sport performance team, this is a real, real important concept.
Well, it is. I believe there's, you know, there's no more than 10 people, and it's probably more like 3 to 5 people in your life that has helped you become who you are. It's helped you in your self-discipline. your concentration, your optimism, your ability to relax, especially in a chaotic or a situation or a crisis, but also the ability to laugh and to enjoy life. And these are the five components of my score system: self-discipline, concentration, optimism, relaxation, and enjoyment. We all have those five components. More, some of us have more, some of us have less. If you think about it, it spells a word. Optimism is really in the center of the word, but in the center of these components, and we all have them. These five components trigger chemicals: cortisol, glycogen, adrenaline, dopamine, serotonin, endorphins. All of these chemicals really make up your overall performance. The zone, that peak performance state, is chemically induced naturally by the body. Well, all of those things are influenced by the people around you. And, you know, sometimes you got to be tough. Parents need to be tough. Stick to it. But if you look at the champions, they've had a consistent, for a long time, thought process and a consistency about themselves. And some parents unwittingly, who are constantly, you're not good enough, you can do better, you got to try, all those things, eventually they will have a lower self-esteem. And self-esteem is what you think other people think about you. Now the champion, he's not concerned what you think about him or her, because he's convinced that he can execute the basics at the right time and place, and he knows that's good enough to win, that I don't have to be perfect to win. And again, a lot of kids, they believe they have to be perfect to win because they've had so much negative criticism, and they have a lower self-esteem. They try too hard, and that causes them to lose. I see it all the time. Go watch a tennis match. Go watch any golf match with juniors. They're looking to the parents, and the parents are throwing their hands up. They're grimacing. They're mouthing words, you know, because they don't want to necessarily be heard. Hockey's a little different. They don't care if they're heard. You know, you can yell and scream. And really, nothing is more important than the self-esteem of your kid. Nothing. That's right. The biggest asset, and that's the asset that needs to be invested fully. And mom and dad, I hold mom and dad responsible for that.
Mom and dad, the parents, the coaches, the teachers, the influencers, and Jim, these relationships, they're not just a passive relationship. These are active, you know, interactions. It's not always smooth, but relationships are something you have to build, you have to control, and even direct at times, correct?
You know, I can look at my own life. I was raised on a dirt floor, an outhouse to go to the bathroom, no running water, no electricity. And mommy, are we poor? You hungry? No, ma'am. Then you're not poor.
Hmm.
Okay. It was a state of mind. And she said to me that she believed in me when I went to sleep at night. And then, you know, later on at 11, age 11, I met a mentor, Professor R.W. Ross, 83-year-old philosophy professor, retired now, running a little tennis program. And he taught me how to visualize, and he gave me even more confidence. So there's probably five people in your life that has helped you be on the course that you're on right now. And that, you know, finding the right wife or husband, that's crucial. That's the person that you sleep with every night, and what you say during the night, you know, before you go to sleep, has an impact on your whole life. That person needs to be chosen very, very wisely. So, and when it comes to coaches, parents, we need to not just take them to the so-called best coach. It's going to be the best coach for your son or daughter. That's different. That's different. So, you know, a coach is not for everybody. Find the coach that's the best for your kid. the person that's going to give your son or daughter the most self-esteem. And that doesn't mean we're coddling them and protecting them. You know, I'm blunt with young players, but they want to know, they don't mind that, but they also want to know what they do well. And I think we need to accentuate the strengths. I know before, if I'm coaching any athlete the day before a big event, we're working on what they do well, not what they don't do well. Everybody else is scrambling to take lessons and work on your weaknesses. And, you know, just for the all the majors, work on your strengths the day before and have a coach and have parents encourage that those are strong. You do that really well. That's how you want to go into a big event. You can't fix a weakness in one day, so why dwell on it?
Jim Fannin, wow, such sage advice. And again, I can't thank you enough for this time today, the insights, and also a little glimpse into the personal life of Jim Fannin there. Incredible stuff, Jim. Thank you so much for this, and we'll look forward to, you know, moving forward with this great information. I mean, we have a lifetime, I believe, of information right here that we can use to help the people around us.
Well, anything I can do to help kids, I'm all in. Count me in. They are the future. Thanks a lot, Jeff. I appreciate it. Your show's the best. You're the best, and I'm always glad to be on your show.
Jim Fannin, thank you so much. Wow.
And there it is, our most recent conversation with the Coach of Champions, Jim Fannin. And I have to ask you once again to share this with everybody you know. There is so much great information in there that can help a lot of people out. I just think this needs to get out there as we try to spread the good word. So I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Next week, we have another real important conversation on talent development, player development, and managing young athletes as we look at a tale from the trenches. We'll talk with a coach who's dealt with organizations, parents, and been around young developing athletes for some time. A great conversation next week. We'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening. Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kershaw, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.
Hey guys and gals, this is Ian Beckles. You may know me from my 9 seasons in the NFL or from listening to me in sports radio for years. But now you get to see and hear the real me, uncensored me, and also unfiltered as well on my new podcast, Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear. What's Flavor in Your Ear? I'll tell you what it is. It's a whole lot of fun. Food, fashion, sports, sex, politics, and my personal adventures as well. And a whole lot more food. Make sure to check out Ian Beckles' Flavor in Your Ear each Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.